Kroger Tender Ray Beef, no other beef so fresh can be so tender, presents Hearts in Harmony, transcribed. Mmm, Kroger Tender Ray Beef. It's delicious. Yes, that's the word for Kroger Tender Ray Beef. Delicious. Is it tender? Yes, ma'am. Melt in your mouth tender. Is it fresh? Yes, sirree. Wonderfully fresh. Kroger Tender Ray is the one beef that's always fresh, always tender. You know it's tender because by the original Kroger Tender Ray method, the top U.S. government grades of beef are made naturally tender without aging. You know it's always fresh because by the Kroger Tender Ray method, there's no need for wasteful aging, no time for loss of savory juice. Kroger Tender Ray beef is luscious red, rich in savory juices, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. No other beef so fresh can be so tender. Yet it costs no more than ordinary beef. And listen, Kroger guarantees it's the best eating beef you've ever served or your money back. So visit your neighborhood Kroger store and buy your favorite cut. Remember, when it's Kroger Tender Ray beef, you know it's fresh, it's tender, it's delicious. Get Kroger Tender Ray beef, the finest beef value in town, at your Kroger store soon. And now, Hearts in Harmony. At last, the problem caused by Windy Day's burning puppy love for Penny Gibbs is solved. And it was Jed Billings, Penny's invalid foster father, who found the solution. It's a short while after Windy's breezy departure from the Gibbs home, and Penny, who left the house while Jed talked to the boy, has come back and says...
But, Jed, how did you do it? What did you say to Windy?
I told the boy that you were under the impression that he wanted to marry you,
oh, no.
And you were not only willing but anxious.
Oh, Jed, you didn't.
I most certainly did. And he couldn't get out of here fast enough. He's well named, that lad, Windy. He went out of here with hurricane velocity.
Jed Billings, it's wonderful that you managed to do something about Windy, but I don't know why you had to tell him I was anxious to marry you.
Oh, I didn't say that in just so many words, but he got the idea I wanted him to get, that I was under the impression his intentions were serious and that he expected to marry you, but in the near future.
What did he say?
Well... Between gulps of astonishment, he didn't say much of anything. He just gulped a little more. You know, in some ways, I'm sorry I told you to leave the house. You should have seen it. It was rather funny.
I really don't see anything funny about it, poor kid. You probably frightened him to death.
Oh, I don't know. I think I merely awakened him to the seriousness of love. I think I was harder on the subjects of marriage and mother-in-laws than I was on Windy.
What are you talking about?
Well, I describe marriage to Windy as a man saddling himself with bills and the expensive demands of a wife.
Oh, Jed.
He saw rather quickly that he couldn't support you on $2.50 a week, even with an extra grass-cutting quarter every now and then.
Oh, you didn't say all that.
I certainly did, and it's a good thing Grace didn't hear what I said about her. I called her an old battle-axe type mother-in-law.
You are lucky she didn't hear you. She might have surprised you by showing you just what an old battle-axe she can be.
Oh, I think she might have understood my reason for that rather stock description of her as a mother-in-law. That's only an old-fashioned and comic version of what a mother-in-law is anyway, but obviously your boy lover reads the comics.
Well, if he hasn't lately, you've obviously sent him back to reading them. Oh, really, though, we shouldn't make such fun of poor Windy.
No, I suppose we shouldn't. I must say the lad is thoroughly honest. He didn't let me get too far with my plans for a wedding before he came right out and explained his intentions weren't quite that serious.
Oh, he's probably afraid to look at me, or anyway, ashamed to.
Well, he might be a little at first, but he'll be around again before long.
I'm not in any great rush to see him, Jed, at least under the same circumstances.
Oh, I imagine his ardor has been cooled for some time, Penny. And by the time he again considers someone what he calls his destiny, I think Hazel Peters or someone in his own crowd would be his target then.
Oh, poor Windy. I wonder if he went home and hid in a closet with fear.
I doubt it. He probably went right to the nearest telephone and called Hazel. or dropped in one of the young people's gathering places to have a reconciliatory soda with her.
Well, if he has been hurt or frightened, I'll make it up to him someday. Golly, I wish I'd hear from Hazel. That would prove that everything's all right again.
Oh, I imagine you'll hear from her soon with either an apology for the way she's acted or a request for aid to cure Wendy of his refusal to have anything to do with women from now till Judgment Day.
No, I don't think Wendy... Oh, startled me.
You think it's Wendy, don't you?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm afraid to look.
Oh, it's the postman, Chelsea. Look out the window.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes toward the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see what's in the mail, will you? I'm expecting a reply on some building materials I ordered.
Yes, darling, I will. I'm kind of hoping for a certain letter myself, but I'm almost giving up waiting for it.
You still want to hear from Johnny Keith, don't you?
Yeah, I'm almost dying to.
Well, any mail for me?
Nope, I don't think so. There's just one.
And what?
Jed, it's from Johnny. It's from Johnny, really, it's from Johnny. Look.
Who did you say the letter's from? A fella named Oscar?
Oh, stop it, Jed. You're just teasing me for being excited, but I don't care.
Oh, I wouldn't say you're excited, but you could open that envelope a lot faster if you'd stop shaking.
Oh, I got it open anyway. Maybe he says when he's leaving South Africa. Maybe he's already on the way.
Now, you better read that letter.
Nothing but a note.
Well, now, many times a man can say more in a note and say it better than he can in a full-length letter. Does he say when he's coming home?
No, I'll read it to you. He says, Dear Penny, just a note to tell you I'll be leaving Cape Town soon. Have to admit I'm excited about it, too. I'll be in Rossville for just a visit, of course, but I'll tell you a little secret.
Well?
He says, Deep down in my heart, I wish something would happen when I'm in Rossville to make me want to stay there forever. Love, Johnny.
And you were complaining because that was just a note. Why, if I ran the postal department, I wouldn't carry a letter with that much weight in it for less than triple the normal postage.
Oh, what's so weighty about it, Jed?
I refuse to believe you don't know. It's that part about wanting to stay here in Rossville, if something makes him want to stay.
Now, what possibly could make him want to stay?
It's not what. It's who.
Oh, you think so, do you? No, I couldn't make him stay here. Even if I could, I wouldn't. He'd be giving up too much, losing too much. And there's nothing here in Rossville to interest him anyhow. Certainly he's not interested in me.
Penny, where are you?
I'm in the kitchen, Pat, doing the dishes.
Oh, Penny, why didn't you tell me? Why'd you let her do it? And without even saying goodbye.
What in the world are you talking about?
I'm talking about Peg. She and Julie left town this morning.
Oh, you're joking.
I am not. You know it, didn't you? Didn't she tell you?
Well, no. I saw her after breakfast this morning, and then she took Julie to school. Oh, Pat, she hasn't left town. I'm sure she hasn't.
But she has. There was a note from her on my dresser saying goodbye.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well, here's the note, and you can believe it.
This is the strangest thing I've ever heard.
You aren't kidding.
No, wait a minute. I think, back about it now, it was strange for Peg to take Julie to school. She's never done that before. But how could she have left this morning? She didn't take luggage with her.
Oh, yes, she did.
Oh, but how could she? We'd have seen her, Pat. Besides, your clothes are still in the closet, and so are Julie's.
But she says in this note to me that she took only two small suitcases. She packed them last night and took them down to the station early this morning when we were all asleep.
Oh, I see. But why did she leave in such a strange way? And is she taking Julie to Hollywood?
Yeah, she's on her way to Hollywood now. Well, about the clothes she didn't take with her.
Mm-hmm.
She puts some money in the envelope with her note and asks us to mail them to her.
Oh, all right, I'll do that today, but did she explain why she left without saying goodbye?
Uh-uh. She just doesn't like goodbyes, I guess. And, well, I'm partly the reason.
Why are you partly the reason?
Well, you know, Penny, things between Peg and me were getting a little serious, and she suddenly decided she didn't want it that way.
Oh, Pat, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. I'm not. I think maybe Peg's right. We didn't love each other. We never really would have. Oh, if we'd married, it would have been nothing but a case of... sympathy for each other. Oh, it's just as well as she left. We'd have just made a big mistake.
Then you're not going back to your job in California, huh?
No, I think I'll stay here, if you'd like.
Pat, I'd love it. It was almost too much to hope for. Will you really stay? Will you? Honestly, really?
Well, after a reaction like that, what else can I do?
You better tell Mother. She'll be thrilled. She wasn't going to say a word about it, but she didn't want you to go back to California.
I rather thought not. Oh, okay. I'll go break the news to her now. Her useless son will spend the rest of his years loafing around the Gibbs Dome.
You will not loaf, Pat Gibbs. If you stay in Rossville, you'll get a job.
Okay, slave driver.
Golly, that's Joel. I promised to go out with him this afternoon. I forgot about it. Look at me. Just look at me.
What's been on your mind? That letter from Johnny Keith make you forget about Joel?
How did you know I had a letter from Johnny?
I saw it in your bedroom. Now, I just saw it. I didn't read it. I'll go answer the door.
Will you, darling? And entertain him till I'm ready. I'm going to run up the back way and change. Can't let Joel see me looking like this. Joel, I've never known till now why some men spend hours watching the excavation for a building. But now I know. It's fascinating.
Want to go around to the other side and see what those men are building?
No, not right now. I guess we snooped enough for one afternoon. Oh, those poor workmen must feel like goldfish the way people gape at them.
Oh, they're probably used to it. Let's walk toward the park, huh?
All right. Oh, golly, it's a nice afternoon.
I know why it is, too. I think it's a great day because I'm out with you. You think it's wonderful because you heard from Johnny Keith.
Did I tell you I got a letter from him?
No, but Pat did. While you were upstairs getting dressed, Pat and I had a long talk about that letter. About Johnny and about you.
Oh, I see.
Penny, I'm not saying this because spring is almost here. I'm not saying this because I want to push you into anything.
Oh, Joel, this is no time to
talk
about
it. There's no such thing as a certain time, a certain place for anything like love. Love can overlook its time and place. Oh, Penny, there's no such thing as a romantic spot, except maybe in movies and storybooks.
I know that,
Penny,
Joel, but
Penny, I said I wouldn't push you, and I won't. I won't demand the answer now, right here. This very minute.
But when will you demand it? 3 or 4 minutes from now, on the next block.
Please don't make a joke out of it.
I'm sorry.
Penny, I want you to marry me. And I want an answer. Soon.
How soon?
Soon.
Well, why must it be soon?
Because I have to know. I can't go on day after day like this, wondering, hoping, never knowing. Can't you give me an answer sooner?
Oh, Joel. Joel, just give me a little time. Just a little time.
So young Dr. Evans is pressing Penny for an answer. What will her answer be? Will she agree to marry Joel before Johnny Keith returns? Or is Johnny's return what she's waiting for this and for other reasons? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic episode of Hearts in Harmony. Kroger Tender Ray Beef. It's delicious. Yes, delicious. Kroger Tender Ray Beef is the best eating beef you ever tasted. Wonderfully tender, wonderfully fresh. Kroger Tender Ray Beef is the one beef that's always fresh, always tender. No other beef so fresh can be so tender. Yet Kroger Tender Ray Beef costs no more than ordinary beef. And listen to this. Not only does Kroger offer you the best eating beef you ever tasted, Kroger also offers you more meat for your money. You see, Kroger has a special way of cutting beef that gives you more meat, less waste. Before Kroger cut beef is weighed and priced, Kroger removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. That's before your purchase is weighed and priced, which means you get more meat for your money. So to get the most, to get the best, get Kroger Tender Ray Beef. Ladies, remember, please, your Kroger store is the only place you can get Kroger Tender Ray Beef. The one beef that's always fresh, always tender, always delicious. And your neighborhood Kroger store is where you get more meat for your money. Because Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. Visit your neighborhood Kroger store soon and get the finest beef value in town. Kroger Tender Ray Beef. Join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, for another thrilling transcribed chapter of Hearts in harmony.